All righty, hello again, everyone, and welcome to it. It is the Derek Hunter Podcast, the 1st of April, 2024. It's April Fool's Day, you fool, but I'm not going to be pulling any April Fool's Day pranks on you, mostly because I'm recording this long before April Fool's Day. Maybe I'll do some on tomorrow's show. I'm just that lazy. It's Easter weekend, for crying out loud. What more do you need? What do you want from me, people? Leave me alone! Leave me alone! No, but don't leave me alone. Go to patreon.com/DerekHunterPodcast or DerekHunter.locals.com and support the program. Get the extra content, enter the contests, all that good stuff. And I hope you had a great Easter. Let us get the show on the road so that we can get on the road ourselves. Welcome to it. Lots of stuff going on. A bunch of things to talk about today. We got to talk about crime. Not the realities of crime, but the perceptions of crime. And, well, there are some realities of crime. And the way that Democrats need it portrayed come the fall. You see this constantly. As a matter of fact, just the other day, Morning Joe was tweeting about how crime is down. It's wonderful. Crime is down despite people feeling that crime is not down. And it's all these stupid people who don't recognize that crime is down, that are causing the problem. It's not the criminals. It's not the crime. It's the perception that crime isn't down that is the problem. And I'll tell you why crime is down. I've talked about this before. If your car is broken into, somebody steals something, and you know that you have a Soros-funded prosecutor who doesn't give a damn, even if they caught the person in the act, well, you know what, we can't, blah, 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 we're not going to charge them. Why would you bother to call? Why would you bother to call the police? There's no point. Police won't show up. Look, when we were renting a house in Chevy Chase, I don't know, 5-6 years ago, we just moved in. And I had a Mini Cooper at the time. And I went out to go to work. And somebody had hit the car on the side and on the driver's side. They'd scraped along it. They did some damage to it. And I'm like, oh, crap, what the hell? So I noticed that, and I went inside and called the police. It was evening. It was Chevy Chase. There's no crime in Chevy Chase. There's barely any crime in Chevy Chase. And their response was, all right, well, is there somebody hurt or anything? Do you need anybody to come out there? Well, I thought somebody would come out here, right? Wouldn't they come out? No. They noted it. That was the extent of the police report. They didn't come out and say, what color is the paint? Are they scraped along there? Is there any, we're going to look around the neighborhood. We're going to see. But nothing. They just said, all right, we've got a case number, so you can give that to your insurance company, and it's done. I suppose that was reported to some degree. But that was it. I didn't expect a manhunt. I didn't expect them to bust out with the helicopters and try and send out. One point it would have been like Quincy. Send out CSI. Send out one of the Law and Order crews. They're taking paint samples. They're going around the neighborhood. They're going to check cars under canopies and tarps in garages. And they're going to find the SOB who hit my car. Nope, they didn't care. And it's like, all right, well, make your insurance claim. What do you want me to do about it? So if anything happened like that again, it'd pretty much be like, well, why would I bother? Why, if my insurance company doesn't demand it and the police aren't going to do a damn thing about it, I just wasted 5 minutes of my time that I'm not going to get back trying to figure out what the hell to do with this thing. So anybody in that situation would now be inclined not to report that crime. If you are a store owner, let's just say you're a store manager of a CVS, right? And you see how many times people coming in with duffel bags, filling up the duffel bags with things that they can easily resell on Amazon or eBay, corporate policy is do not engage, do not try to stop them, do not do anything, or else you'll be fired. So you just kind of film it, sitting there twiddling your thumbs. And then they walk out. Are you going to call the... Why would you call the police? Police are going to show up and go, what do you want? Well, actually, police probably wouldn't show up. They're going to go, what are you talking about? What do you want us to do? There was a... I thought I had this audio, but I couldn't find it this morning. There was a situation up in Baltimore. Since they embraced the defund the police and made it damn clear after Freddie Gray that the politicians there were not going to have the backs of police officers in any way, shape, or form, that they are having, believe it or not, I hope you're sitting down for this, they are having difficulty finding new recruits. True story. People do not want to become police officers in the city of Baltimore because, you know, if you already weren't attracted to the no pay and low pay, the fact that the politicians will gleefully throw your ass in jail should anything go sideways because they see it as a political advantage to them. I don't know, you know, they're hiring. And there was a situation in the Southern District, which is, I think, the largest district in Baltimore, where there was a child abuse situation. And it took, there was one police officer on patrol. They were begging people to volunteer from anywhere to do overtime in the Southern District because they weren't going to have anybody. And it took about 20 minutes to get a cop to just go, okay, well, we'll go over and check, pick up this kid who'd been abused. It was an absolute disaster. And it's, you feel bad for the citizens and then you realize, but then these people voted for this stuff. Right, it's hard for me as a human being to feel badly for people who punch themselves in the face. Like, oh, banging my head against the wall. Boy, I got a headache. Bang your head against the wall. Well, maybe I got an idea for you. Stop banging your head against the wall. I don't know. Typical. That's exactly what I'd expect somebody like you to say, bang, but I just need to figure out a way to get rid of this headache. Well, right then and there, you've lost my sympathy, and you've lost my interest. You can go ahead and bang your head against the wall all you want. I don't care. I've told you the solution to your problem. You don't like it, you don't want it, whatever it is, or you like complaining about having a headache, it's up to you. But far too many people are having these decisions made for them. In a city where you get 60% of people who vote for Democrats no matter what, no matter how bad things are, you still have 40% of the public who don't deserve that. It'd probably be better for them to get the hell out of there. Leave the destitution to the people who vote for it. So here's the Morning Joe tweet. Trump claims crime rates are high. The numbers indicate otherwise. Yeah, well, if you discourage through your actions the reporting of crime, it's amazing what happens to the reporting of crime. If you make it abundantly clear that we're not going to do anything, we're not even going to prosecute. You caught the guy. Oh, you caught the guy. Okay, well, it's a misdemeanor, no cash bail. They'll be out in about 20 minutes. And oh, by the way, they're going to be pissed at you, right? they're going to be pissed at you. They're going to come at you like a rabid spider monkey. But don't worry. If somebody threatens your life and you call police, we will definitely note that in your autopsy report. So there will be no ambiguity. Congratulations. You know, who's going to call the police under those circumstances? So Democrats claiming some sort of victory for crime being, quote, down, end quote, is a little bit ridiculous because the crimes that matter are up, the violent crimes. I want to play you this audio from New York City. It's from New York Channel 7 ABC up there. It's a report about a woman who, and we talked about this the other day, women are being punched randomly. Just scumbags are punching women randomly in the face. Why, we don't know. And we're never going to know because they're not being treated as serious crimes. But this one comes from Crown Heights, Brooklyn. Broke her jaw, messed her up pretty bad. 57-year-old Dulce Picardo, I believe, She talks. She's talking like this because her jaw is wired shut because they broke her jaw. This guy broke her jaw in a couple of places, and he'd been arrested 7 times for pretty much the same thing. 7 times. And he's charged, wait for it, with a misdemeanor. He just decks her. There's video footage of it. There's no ambiguity. This dude did it. There's no ambiguity about whether or not it was provoked or she was just walking, minding her own business. Turns around, punches her right in the face. He's charged with a misdemeanor. Guess what misdemeanor assault means? No cash bail. Means the guy was back out on the streets before the woman was out of the hospital having her jaw wired shut. And this is cool with Democrats. This is the way it should be with Democrats because we wouldn't want to. There's too many people in prison. It's not random dudes. We're not picking people up. Not like the pledge class in old school where we're just driving around in the family truckster grabbing people off the streets, throwing pillowcases over their heads and throwing them in prison. These are people who are in prison for a reason. They committed crimes. But crime is not a crime anymore. Crime to the left is a cry for help. It is striking out against white supremacy, against whatever it is, oppression, against slavery that's been gone for 2 centuries. So listen to this report. This is New York. You think, well, it's New York. I just don't go to New York. It's going to come here. Stupidity spreads like a cold on a plane, and you've got one of the dumbest human beings at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue who seeks to appease these people who this appeals to. And the way he's going to appease them is to bring it nationwide. Just wait. It seems, oh, it's impossible. Ask yourself if 5 years ago you would have thought this was possible.
It is a random, unprovoked, vicious attack on a 57-year-old woman in Brooklyn. Watch as the suspect ignores another man walking nearby, then punches the woman in her face, causing her to stumble backwards.
What happened? Why you hitting me? Why you hitting me? I was bleeding a lot. Mom, I'm so scared, so afraid.
Dulce Pichardo was on the receiving end of that punch, her mouth now wired shut, her face fractured in several places, drinking food out of a straw for 6 weeks, permanent damage to her lower lip, 3 teeth knocked out, and she might need surgery. In this Eyewitness News exclusive, Pichardo says he didn't say a word, just stared at her, then broke her jaw.
He hit me very, very strong over here. And he broke everything here. Everything's break.
It happened yesterday around 5 p.m. on Grand Avenue near Dean Street. Pichardo was a school bus aide and was returning from work, just steps away from home when she was slugged. Her brother owns a restaurant across the street from where she lives. He and this employee chased the suspect down. Johan Flores says he was still standing there. When they confronted him, he denied attacking Pichardo, cold and emotionless. They followed him for several blocks and stopped him from fleeing until police arrived. Cops arrested 33-year-old Franz Judy. The suspect was charged with misdemeanor assault, meaning he's not bail eligible. He'll be released back onto the street. And that's the part that has the victim and her family frustrated and afraid.
Every time I see a woman, I close. I don't want to be close to nobody. I'm very afraid, yes. I turn my song everywhere I'm going. I want you to walk with me.
He's being charged with assault 3, now with a felony, because there's no intent. So therefore, he's being just charged with that. He has 7 prior arrests for assault charges, and he's out in the street.
In Crown Heights, Brooklyn, Stefan Kim, Channel 7, Eyewitness News.
Ain't you feeling better? Aren't things wonderful? Boy, those low crime statistics, huh? Let me tell you what, those numbers. Those numbers on paper aren't what's out there punching people in the face. And he's out, no cash bail. It's a misdemeanor. It's just a misdemeanor. You broke somebody's jaw. You broke a woman's jaw minding her own business. It's the equivalent of jaywalking. It's just this side of a parking ticket. What are you doing there? 7 priors. And none of it'll matter. It's a misdemeanor. Even if they had 3 strikes or 8 strikes and you're out, this is a misdemeanor. They don't care. Which do you think are the priorities for the Democrats? The victim or the perpetrator? So as they sit there and they talk about, well, crime is down. Okay, yeah, crime is down. It's down from felony assault to misdemeanor assault. so that these goons, these monsters, are back out on the street as quickly as possible. That's where it's down. It's about the clearances. It's about the numbers. When the politicians run for re-election, they can say, well, crime is down. Forget that they cooked the books. If you get to decide, what does it always say? If you choose a unit of measure, you control everything. So you can run around and say, look, crime is down on my watch. We've done it. Well, what did you do to put crime down? To bring crime is down on my watch. What policies did you implement? Crime is down. What about violent crime? Well, you know, overall, crime is down. Certain areas, some things, yes, crime is up. But in other areas, in most other areas, crime is down. Okay. So in the areas where people are physically attacked and in need of medical attention, those ones are up. When places where things where people are murdered, where you can't just kind of go, oh, well, we'll make an insurance claim. Those crimes are up because you can't help but avoid filing it. There's no point. You look at shoplifting, you look at somebody smashing a window, and you just go, there's no point. There's no point. You can't look at a dead body and go, yeah, they just shot that guy, but there's no point in calling anybody. We'll just let him sit there. Eventually, the garbage guys will come along and pick it up, and we don't have to worry about it. That's not how it works. Somebody breaks your jaw, you're going to call police. You need medical assistance. Right then, you're going to hit 911. That's why those crimes are up. And the other crimes are down. Sex crimes, up. Sex crimes are up where there are concentrations of illegal aliens. What? That can't be. Yeah, well, you import a whole bunch of people from the third world where, let's just say, women don't exactly rate as far as rights go. They're going to treat women like garbage. They're going to treat people like women, like toys, like property, like receptacles. They're not going to care. And you import that. Oh, well, yay, celebrate diversity or something. Why? How? Where do you come up with these things? Crime is down. Do you feel like crime is down? Do you see crime being down? Washington, D.C. setting records for carjackings. Those are crimes. Those are crimes. You wouldn't know it by the fact that when they catch the 14-year-old joyriding, that they don't really charge them, that they get away with it to be back on the streets to do it again. But they are, in fact, crimes. In Baltimore, people get arrested for carjacking regularly, and they had a policy. Well, if they're under 16, they can't be charged, can't do anything to them. If you see that, and you see a major increase in people taking advantage of that, maybe you want to consider changing the law. But, well, pay lip service to that, but, I mean, come on. You end up like in Toronto, where people were breaking into houses to steal people's cars. They wanted to break in and steal. It's easy. Look, with these fobs, just break in and steal. It's easier to steal the keys to steal the car than it is to hotwire the car these days. So they kick in your door. And what was the police response? Keep your keys near the door. So if somebody's trying to break in, you can quickly give them the keys so that they won't come in and hurt you. Because it's Canada. See, in the United States, at least in non-Democrat controlled cities, somebody kicking in your door would probably be met with having their skull ventilated. Right? At least there's a good possibility. Ask yourself this question. If you saw three stickers there, put them in the order of you're going to give a damn if you're a criminal. This house protected by XYZ security. This house will call 911 on you, or proud member of the National Rifle Association. Which one would be a bigger deterrent to you if you were thinking about breaking in to try and steal their car for a joyride or whatever it was? Well, I'm sure you can find somebody who's not a member of the NRA who also drives a Hyundai, right? You can go move on to another one. The idea that they call 911 is an inconvenience, and boy, it's going to be a pain to wipe that ink off of your fingertips when you get printed, but other than that, that's about it. And your security company, well, that's, you'll be gone by the time the security company then calls the owner, then calls the police. it doesn't matter. It's the one that's immediate and permanent that matters, that has the most impact. And that's the one that Democrats are actively working to try and strip law-abiding citizens from having. Isn't that weird? Honest to God, if you were trying to do maximum damage to the United States of America or harm Americans in the most efficient way possible, what would you do differently than what Democrats are doing? What would you do differently where you look at a situation where somebody can punch somebody, break their jaw, and be out in time for lunch facing misdemeanor charge? What is that misdemeanor charge? Well, you're going to have to report to jail for 1 weekend, maybe, or your sentence will be suspended. What do you have to do? Clean up a little bit on the side of the freeway? That's the most you're looking at? But if your cell phone pinged off a tower anywhere in Washington, D.C. on January 6, 2021, there's a fairly decent chance that the FBI is going to dispatch a team of experts to your house. They've already combed through your phone records. They are checking out where you went. You won't get this kind of thoroughness in a colonoscopy. If you tweeted out a meme about how Joe Biden is old, senile, and or corrupt, you are more than likely on more law enforcement radar than the guy who broke that woman's jaw. This is what Democrats do. We're just getting started. We've got a whole bunch of stuff about Democrats and crime. Because now that the election is coming up, they have to at least pretend to care. Because while they can cook the books and come up with numbers and try and convince, you don't know how good you've got it. You can try and convince people of anything. You can't make people believe you. And their attempts to convince people that crime is down, that the economy is great, those aren't working. So they got to come up with something else desperately. So crime is the theme today, and I'm looking at the... I've got audio. It doesn't really matter which way I go. I go this story, then that story, then circle back around. It doesn't matter. I can make it all make sense. It's one of the things I learned when working for Senator Burns for the 1 year that I worked for him as a press secretary. The other senator at the time of Montana was Max Baucus. Max Baucus, a Democrat, he'd been there for 20-some-odd years, whatever he ends. He's still floating around out there. He went on to become Obama's ambassador to China. He got paid off and moved out. Max Baucus was as left-wing as anybody. He was Nancy Pelosi in a suit for 5 years. But Senate terms are 6 years. So on the sixth year, Max Baucus would then start suddenly being rather conservative. Democrats knew this. They didn't try to. It happens a lot in Western states that have Democrats and in Northern states that have Democratic senators. They go, all right, well, they're going to be the five-year Democrat. And then you can't count them. They don't try to do big things in election years for those guys just because they know they're not going to get them. The next year, they'll get him. They get him reelected. You got him. They work really hard. And they're like, wow, he's really opposed to your agenda, but you're working super hard to get him reelected. Like, oh, yeah, no. It's just we really want him there for the 5% of things that he says he's down with. No, you know that he's a Democrat. And when push comes to shove after the election, after voters no longer can do anything about it for a while, then he's on your team. He's got it. So don't sweat it. Don't worry about it. Don't do it. Well, it's only ever lip service when a Democrat pays lip service to conservatism. Look at Joe Manchin. They're trying to get him to run on the no labels ticket. There's a label for him. He's a liberal Democrat. Oh, sure, he hems and haws and goes, aw, shucks, and I'm not really sure about this, that, and the other thing. But there hasn't been one single issue, one single vote in the United States Senate in Joe Manchin's tenure where he has made the difference against the Democratic Party. There are instances where the Democrats have passed things by just one vote, where Joe Manchin could have made the difference if he had stood up to his party, but he never did. He never does. But when it's, you know, something that 4 or 5 Democrats are going to vote against, he's got cover. It's not a difference maker, or it's going to pass anyway. Then Joe Manchin comes in and says, oh, you know, my conscience won't allow me to do X, Y, and Z, and therefore blah, 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 and I vote this way. It's a show. He represents a red state. It's not even a purple state. He represents a red state, and he wants to keep his job, or wanted to keep his job, so he'd play this game. And it worked because Democrats played along. And if Democrats are playing along, then you get the, you know, ABC News report with the hairdo. David Muir up there going, oh, West Virginia Senator, Democratic West Virginia Senator Joe Manchin today came out against the president's proposal to slowly throw elderly people into an open volcano or whatever it is. It's like, oh, it's really easy to do that. It's strategic. It's not principled. You think these people have principles? Where the hell have you been living? But it's opportunism, too. It's self-preservation. That brings us to this Politico story about San Francisco. They've got a mayor's race going out there. If you haven't heard, San Francisco is not the most pleasant place in the world to live. It's a great place to visit if you stay in certain areas and have no sense of smell or taste. But, Politico report. San Francisco mayoral candidate Mark Farrell said Thursday that if elected, he will ask California to send more armed National Guard troops into downtown to fight the city's open-air drug markets. Now, the city has a police force. Do I expect this guy? Well, they could handle this. They're not interested in handling this. Not the police. The political class. But it sounds tougher. You know, I'll tell police to go out and do this. Well, I'll send in the National Guard. I'll ask them. Okay, you're not going to do anything. All right. Unless you jail them, you're not going to do anything. So the announcement, part of Farrell's plan to address the fentanyl overdose crisis. See, again, you also have to look at the motivation. It's the fentanyl overdose crisis. I don't mean to belittle the overdose deaths from fentanyl. But honestly, at a certain point, if you're living on Skid Row, if you're out there shooting drugs, smoking drugs, defecating on the street, whatever, assaulting people as they walk past, chasing people away from businesses or whatever, your place on my concern chart is pretty low, right? My concern chart is topped by the law-abiding, productive members of society. I'm not saying I don't care. I'm not going to do anything for you. I'm going to let you rot, go dump you in the bay or whatever. But the idea that we're going to clean it up because we don't want people overdosing, we don't want people overdosing. But I don't care if they don't overdose. So you're saying if people weren't dropping dead from fentanyl, if they were just getting really, really high, you wouldn't be doing this? What if they we're just going to do straight up heroin. We're not going to have laced heroin anymore. We're going to smoke crack. Is that okay then? No. The problem is them and their activities, not the end result of it. And it's not even that they're not productive members of society, although that makes me care a little bit less about them relative to productive members of society. But at some point, they made a choice. And then they make choices every day to sleep in the stoop of a business, of a storefront. You can't move them along, or they get violent. They get to defecate. Look, you got to go. You got to go. I understand that. But there's something fundamentally wrong with you, and I would say near unfixable if drop and trowel in a street corner is your solution to that. I get that Morton's isn't going to welcome you in to go and use their bathroom to clean up, but you could go down an alley. You could go beside a dumpster. There are plenty of options. At a certain point, you give up on life. Life doesn't give up on you, but you give up on life when you're defecating in front of school children or something. Okay? Problematic. You are not my top priority. I'm going to do it because of fentanyl overdoses. Okay, how about you do it for quality of life for the people who aren't junkies, first and foremost? List that. Shouldn't that be the selling point? We're going to stop the tragedy of fentanyl overdoses. Well, what about the tragedy of normal human beings walking down the street stepping on needles and piles of human feces? What about that? It's not death. I get it. It's not death. But there's some people who are rowing the boat and some people are kind of sunning themselves. The people who are rowing the boat should probably get a little bit more attention, a little bit more concern than the people taking a nap up on the Lido deck. The announcement, part of Farrell's plan to address the fentanyl overdose crisis, is the latest example of how the Democrat and venture capitalist is trying to oust Mayor London Breed in November by outflanking her to the right. Honestly, if you're going to try to outflank London Breed, there's no room on the left, right? You've got to be on the right. Mao looks at this chick and goes, she's a little crazy there. Breed and Governor Gavin Newsom, both Democrats, have used the National Guard and California Highway Patrol to help local police dismantle fentanyl rings, especially ahead of the city hosting the APEC summit last fall. Yeah, that's when they did it. That's when they cared. Ooh, China's coming. Let's clean out the junkies. China's gone. Junkies go to town. It was never about the citizens. So again, you sit there and you go, what the hell is wrong with these people? But you realize it's these people that vote for it. If you're unwilling to consider the prospect of a Rudy Giuliani type person coming in there, it's hard for me to care. If I think about it too hard, it's hard for me to give a damn about, those poor people in San Francisco. You had your primary. The two choices are a radical Democrat or a radical Democrat, all right? Ultimately, I don't care. This is a cautionary tale for when these people try this in places where it does matter, where sanity could prevail. They're going to pretend, no, law and order. We're for law and order. We want to protect the law-abiding. We just don't want the law-abiding to be able to protect themselves. Yes. Don't worry. If something goes sideways, we will dispatch police to fill out a crime report and we'll put a nice chalk outline outside your body. But at least you'll know that you died making sure that that inanimate object we've denied you the ability to own will not exist to harm somebody else, even if you've been shot. But Farrell wants to see more military personnel deployed for an indefinite period of time, though he didn't specify how many or for how long. Weird, it's weird. I want this. You got any specifics? No, because I don't really mean it. Sounds good, though, doesn't it? His rhetoric, especially his calls for more armed California National Guard, is sure to strike a political nerve in San Francisco. The city has increasingly leaned into tough-on-crime policies despite its liberal reputation as voters grow frustrated over brazen retail theft, public drug use, and sprawling homeless encampments. You mean the results, the direct results of left-wing policies? Left-wingers do not care for the direct results of left-wing policies? The hell you say? You really got to... I would love to have a conversation with these people out in San Francisco. You just look at them and say, well, what did you think was going to happen? In your mind, as you played this out, as you sat there and you said, we got to close the schools. And, oh, we got to school-to-prison pipeline. Shut down the prisons. And let's decriminalize this. And, oh, it's quality of life, crime. There's victimless, blah, blah, blah. What did you think the end result was going to be? Did you think the junkies would go, well, wait, it's not fun anymore? Now that I can't risk going to jail it's not fun anymore, so I'm going to quit smoking crack? Did you think that was going to happen? Did you think other people, other junkies in the surrounding area would go, don't go to San Francisco? Why? Because they don't even arrest you for shooting heroin on the street. Like, what kind of hell is that? Oh, no, I'm not going anywhere near that. Because there's no more law-abiding, hygienic people than heroin addicts, right? Except for, of course, maybe people who are obsessed with their oral hygiene, like the crystal meth community, right? I just want to ask these people, what did you think was going to happen? You know what the answer is mostly going to be. They didn't think about it. In San Francisco, it is wildly expensive to live. There are slums, of course, and skid rows and what have you, but the vast majority of people pay through the nose or another orifice for rent there in San Francisco. Really nice places that are small and $5,000-$10,000 a month for cheap ones. They thought that that would insulate them. It's a rich neighborhood. Keep this. This stuff doesn't happen in rich neighborhoods. This doesn't come to rich neighborhoods. Told you earlier how I lived in Chevy Chase. There were no homeless people in Chevy Chase. It's right next to Bethesda, right near Potomac. These mansions. Mansions. There are empty lots there. But there are no tents set up for homeless people. There are sprawling estates and country clubs and whatever. There's no homeless people living in them. No tents pitched under overpasses there, because the second anybody even tries it, these people who fund the Democratic Party immediately call the police. They're special. They're suburban. They have a place to go and throw them. They throw them back in Washington, D.C. It's close enough. Just go, move along. Move along. Go to Rockville. Go whatever. Well, out in San Francisco, they've gone even further. These are the people who fund the Democratic Party. But these are the true believers, too. These are the people who know it exists because they go downtown to restaurants. They get their car valeted so they don't have to walk a block and have to run the gauntlet of people begging for money. But they know it exists. They see it. It's terrible. Somebody should do something about that crowd. Somebody should do something about that. I'm going to vote for Democrats. They'll do something about that. Yeah, they'll make it worse. They've created it. Why would they make it worse? When was the last time San Francisco had a Republican mayor when the earth cooled? Back when William Randolph Hearst was trying to run things? When was it? I don't know. It's been a while. But these are the true believers. They thought they were insulated being, 30 stories above sea level. Now they're not. They're not junkies on their balconies overlooking the Prudential Life Building, but the wafting smell of certain drugs and certain secretions sure as hell makes it up that high. And then you have many wealthy San Franciscans being murdered, being accosted, being robbed. And you know what? Even the richest among us needs a Tylenol every now and then, or some hair dye, or whatever it is. You want to go down to your CVS, the CVS in your building, and wait a second, you need an attendant to get hair dye and toothpaste? What is that? Or they're just closing them down because they can't operate anymore. Suddenly, it's about the convenience of these leftists. So now they're both kind of playing lip service to this idea of law and order. We need to get things under control. The people, the arsonist, is talking about the need to check your fire extinguishers. Make sure you have those things in order. It's hilarious, and it really is difficult for me to find concern for these people because it is a self-inflicted wound. But, again, you just got to watch this stuff because they're going to try and pull this stuff here, too. We care. We're tough on crime. We're not going to put up with this sort of thing. You're the cause of a lot of the crime. The recidivism rate, the people who's been arrested 7 times, the guy who shot the police officer, been arrested 5 times prior. Yeah, and why was he not in custody? Why was he not in prison? That's a Democrat. Thank a Democrat for that. So now we've got this crime situation. I told you earlier, just the other day, about how Democrats look at the horrible sexual assault situation down on the southern border, and they're like, we only care in that it stops people from getting, the illegals are having difficulty getting the abortion pill. That's the problem. That's the real tragedy here. Like, no, not the rape. That's not the, okay, I guess. I mean, everybody has their own things, I suppose. I honestly don't know how these people live with themselves, but, you know, I'm not, who am I to judge? Except for, you know, me, and I do it anyway. But there is something out there, I did not know this. Apparently it's new. I'm surprised, actually, that it's new. The coalition, the Black Mayors Coalition. It just sounds like something the Democrats would have had around for a very long time. And they're meeting the USA Today, the nation's hotel doormat, has a story, big city crime is down. But not in Memphis. A coalition of America's Black mayors will look for answers. I told you what it is. I'll tell you, whatever. So when Paul Young was sworn in as the mayor of Memphis, Tennessee, more than 2 months ago, he vowed to find ways to improve public safety in the city. I love how we'll find ways. We'll work on this. We know what works. Find the criminals, prosecute the hell out of them, and lock their asses up. There's problem solved. Problem solved. Just as the death penalty has a 100% rate against recidivism, nobody executed has ever come back and committed another crime. Locking people up at least postpones recidivism for the length of time that that person is locked up. And crime, quite frankly, is perpetrated by a very small number of people in this country. But never underestimate the potential damage that a small amount of people in this country can inflict on the population in any country. They say it all the time, but it's worth repeating. The Nazis were a distinct minority in Germany in the 1930s. The communists, minority in Russia during the revolution, in China during Mao's march to power. In fact, Chiang Kai-shek controlled pretty much all of China at one point, but he was so incompetent and corrupt that he lost it all to a small band of zealots. Because while he had the numbers, Shek did, Mao had the determination and the will. The determination and the will, certainly it won't make up for, you know, overwhelming numbers or whatever, or superior forces and what have you, but occasionally it can. Are you unfamiliar with the Gerard Butler classic film that was pooped on by the Academy called 300? It's based on a true story. Now, all those guys ended up getting slaughtered, but that's beside the point. There's a reason they didn't do a sequel to that movie. But it is just one of those damn things where you're sitting there and you go, you know what the problem is, and we know how to fix the problem. We can fix this problem. It's not a mystery for the ages where we're going to have to dispatch a team of sociologists to figure out what it is. No, hey, there's a person committing crime. That person robbing the bank, that person robbing the liquor store, that person looting the whatever, that's not their first day. You know what? I was going to go to the office today, but then I decided, what the hell? I'm going to go take all the makeup off of a Rite Aid shelf and spend all day posting it to my eBay store at a 20% discount. That's not a decision people make. Same thing I say about Hunter Biden. He didn't just decide at 40. You know what's missing in my life? Smoking a lot of crack and banging a lot of hookers. It is a year of, or a lifetime of getting away with it that empowers people to do that, that emboldens people to live that way. Then improve public safety. It's a tough task. The city is still recovering a year after the fatal beating of Tyree Nichols, the 29-year-old FedEx worker, by five Memphis police officers. That was one out of a record-breaking 398 homicides Memphis suffered in 2009. Okay, one of them. Would all of them been by police? No. among the highest in America, a nearly 40% increase from 2022. The city started 2024 with more than two dozen killings as the year's homicide total continued a similar trajectory. Young decided to seek help from his mayoral peers nationwide. Not all his mayoral peers. Only certain mayoral peers, based on their skin color and party affiliation. Facing similar concerns, many responded. The group of black mayors and officials from two dozen of the nation's biggest cities will meet in Memphis this week to share their most effective crime strategies, USA Today has exclusively learned. Exclusively learned. You mean you got a press release? Although homicides and violent crimes fell across the country last year, they are still higher than pre-pandemic levels. Major concerns of the newly launched Black Mayors Coalition on Crime will address starting Wednesday. Quote, all of our cities are looking for solutions, end quote. Young, who's spearheading the initiative, told USA Today. All of your cities. Who's our? Are we allowed to ask who our is? Is it only major cities? What if there's a mid-sized city? What if the mayor of that mid-sized city is the wrong configuration of ethnicity or skin color? Are they allowed to come and help? Apparently not, judging by the name. But, of course, USA Today doesn't have a problem with that. They don't have any questions about that. They don't have any concerns about such things. It's just silly to even bring it up. I apologize unreservedly. I don't know what I was thinking. It is insane. There was a story the other day. You just want to know how far the rot is on the left. There was a story the other day about Detroit, about Michigan. It was in the Detroit News. And it was about how Michigan was for hate, not hate crimes, but hate leaflets and rallies or events or whatever the hell they call these things, that Michigan was number eight in the country for these sorts of instances. And I thought, well, that's a weird unit of measure. That's a weird thing to sort of say, come up with. I don't know how you come up with those things, but all right, you're number eight. And then I read the story. The picture in the story was from 2022. Now, this is about Michigan in 2023. The picture was from 2022, and it was from some march of a bunch of people wearing masks. And of course, Republicans don't wear masks, but it was people wearing masks marching down the street in Boston in 2022. And you're like, that's weird. If Michigan is ranked, here's the story. Michigan ranked number eight in white supremacist propaganda and events in 2023, says the ADL, the Anti-Defamation League. So Michigan ranked number eight among states in the distribution of white supremacist propaganda and events organized or attended by white supremacists in 2023, according to a new assessment by the Anti-Defamation League. The ADL recorded 260 instances in Michigan last year of white supremacist activity. Weirdly, this story lists none of them. I don't know. With 260 of them rolling around, you think you could find, okay, maybe you don't want to go through a laundry list of 260 events because you find out that, like, somebody bought a Hitler stamp or something on eBay. Like, well, there it is. Okay. But you'd come up with something, couldn't you? At least art for the piece, you could find something from one of these 260 events. Instead, no. It says right there, there's the picture, there's marching, they look stupid, they're carrying shields, they're wearing masks, they look like, they're all too fit, actually, to be Michiganders, to be honest with you. They look like feds. I don't know that Michiganders have that much khaki. But it says, marchers bearing the insignia of the white supremacist group Patriot Front parade through Boston Common in 2022. And wait a second, you scroll down. That's the only picture in the whole story. Michigan is number 8. Overrun with white supremacists, events and literature everywhere. You couldn't take a picture of a flyer from one of these things. Nothing. It's, no, we got something from Boston. Not last year, but the year before. I thought you were lousy with these things. The advocacy group focused on combating anti-Semitism and other forms of hate said the state's total is down somewhat from 2022, from when we also couldn't find any photographs. When 355 incidents were reported, the most since the Anti-Defamation League started tracking these numbers in 2017, Michigan is the 10th most populous state. Quote, I don't think being 8th in the nation for white supremacy is anything to brag about, said Carolyn Normandin, regional director of the ADL. Was there somebody bragging about it? See, I'd like to see some numbers on this. I want to know who if there's a racist at every pot and behind every bush, and who are they? Where are these groups? If you're concerned about it, then you would probably want to alert the public as to where these groups function, where they operate, so maybe you wouldn't accidentally date somebody or take a job, whatever it is. But they don't. They leave that out. They just declare something to be, and the incurious median who wrote this thing? Somebody called Annie Snabes. I assume that's how you pronounce it. S-N-A-B-E-S. Snabes. Nationwide, the ADL tracked 7,567 white supremacist incidents in 2023, the most since it started tracking these instances, and a 12% increase from 2020, according to the ADL's Center on Extremism's annual assessment, which was released Tuesday. These instances counted do not include instances with a Jewish connection. Anti-Semitic propaganda, which isn't included in the white supremacist incident numbers, increased nationally by 30% from 2022 to 2023. The ADL said the increase was largely due to white supremacist group Patriot Front reincorporating anti-Semitic phrases into their propaganda. The only place I've ever seen this, anything reported about this Patriot Front group ever, is at left-wing events. They all come out. They're all wearing masks. They all look like feds, honestly. They wear blue T-shirts and khaki pants. They carry signs. They march through, and then they leave. And nobody can figure out seemingly who they are. None of them? Nobody? Follow them, right? Oh, they all climbed in the back of a Hertz rental truck. Well, go to the Hertz. Follow the damn thing. It's weird how they... The lack of curiosity about who these people are, because the existence of the group, the existence of them, is all they need. If you go into the specifics, then you might find out, you know, that it's garbage. Anti-LGBTQ plus propaganda by white supremacists, man, they got fingers in everything. They got fingers in every, and they're all responsible for the anti-Semitism. It's weird because, you know, I see lots and lots and lots of footage of pro-Palestine, anti-Israel, anti-Jewish, totally just this side of Nuremberg rallies. I have not seen many white people at those things. I have not seen many people that I would consider to be far right, right? There's not many people taking the Yasser Arafat doily thing, wrapping it around their head and going, death to Israel, from the ocean to the river to the sea, Palestine. Well, not too many of those guys. Not too many accountants named Chip going to be out there burning the Israeli flag. But somehow instances of anti-Semitism are because of this random group's literature. Literature, okay. Not the 50,000 people rioting outside of the Joe Biden fundraiser for Death to Israel the other day? No, not them? Okay. And now they're going after the gays. Why? Because why not? It's a growth industry. Boy, There's a boogeyman in every pot. Anti-LGBTQ plus propaganda by white supremacists increased by 141% nationwide, with 164 instances in 2023 compared to 68 the year before, according to the ADL. More than 20% of supremacist events included elements of anti-LGBTQ plus hate. Again, notice what's missing. Anything to back this up? Nothing. Like, well, on January 7th, these groups of people went in and wrote screw you Jews and made swastikas on the synagogue. No, they can't do that. Why? Because every instance of that is some college lesbian dance major student caught doing that. Some leftist member of the Alphabet Mafia themselves going out and doing it. So, yeah. Just like the guy in Silver Spring, right after Trump was elected, who discovered he was the organist for the church, and he discovered, oh my goodness, they spray painted homophobic slurs on the side of this church. Those monster Republicans, because Silver Spring, Maryland is known as being the just the hub, right there with Chicago, as being the hub of conservatism, right? Of right-wing debauchery. This MAGA country. In Chicago and in Silver Spring. Then when the guy's story didn't really hold up, they looked in his trunk and they found all the paint. Like, oh, wow, those evil homophobes not only spray painted that church that I just happened to be the gay organist at, they can pick a lock in a trunk of a car. This is amazing. And they've finally advanced the technology to the point that they can plant my fingerprints on those devices. They're diabolical. They're just diabolical. No evidence whatsoever. Normandin said much of the propaganda in Michigan comes from the groups Patriot Front and Goyim Defense League. It sounds like something out of Lord of the Rings. I don't know. She believes law enforcement has helped contribute to the decrease in white supremacist instances in Michigan. Some of the individuals have faced charges for white supremacy-related crimes and are now incarcerated. What are white supremacy-related crimes? What does that mean? Again, they don't need, if you're on the left, you don't have to explain yourself. And the reporter, the journalist, in air quotes, is so incurious as to just go, I'm not in, I don't know what that, whatever it is. I'm on your team. Who am I to question? I love the Houston Astros. I'm sure it's just a coincidence that somebody's deciding to play bongos on the garbage can in the locker room. That's perfectly fine. It, quote, it was also buoyed by online reactions to the October 7th attack on Israel by Hamas, as white supremacist leaders applauded the terror group and violence against Israelis, according to a news release from the ADL. Yeah, that's it. Boy, I wonder if the ADL, which would they be more concerned with? Marching down the street in a white neighborhood where all these alleged white supremacists live, or marching across a college campus where there probably aren't very many members of whatever these, the Goyim Defense League, probably not too many members of the Goyim Defense League marching or sitting around on campus at the University of Michigan, say, in Ann Arbor. Which do you think the ADL should be more concerned? Give them an Israeli flag and march them across the quad there in Ann Arbor. Let's just be a fun little experiment. Of course, they're not doing that. At a time when anti-Semitic sentiment and incidents are at historic levels, white supremacists are increasingly resorting to hate propaganda to spread pernicious ideas against Jews and other marginalized groups, said Jonathan Greenblatt, the ADL, at a fundraiser for Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib. Just kidding. He only attends those indirectly. Hardly a day goes by without communities being targeted by this odious rhetoric that terrorizes and harasses people at increasingly disturbing rates. This growing threat reminds us we must stay committed to the fight against all forms of hate. All forms of hate. You really only focus on one here. Evil Whitey Can't cite any examples, any instances, nothing. Nobody held accountable. They're in prison now for hate crime related stuff. Nothing. You bring nothing to the table. You just throw some numbers together, and Annie Snabes goes, well, we must report. We're number eight. We're number eight. My God, we're the worst in the worst in the worst in the worst. Yeah. I believe that there is a lot of anti-Jewish sentiment in Michigan. I lived in Dearborn, Michigan for about 6 years. I've witnessed it firsthand. But I don't really think it's the blue-collar retiree up north fishing off the Mackinac, near the Mackinac Bridge, who's sitting there going, you know what we really got to do? We got to get rid of them blacks and Jews. I just don't think that's the case. Call me crazy. But if they had evidence of it, they would have presented evidence of it, don't you think? So while the Anti-Defamation League is out there hunting for crimes, not the crimes. We must stop the crime. And the black mayors are getting together trying to figure out how to stop crime in black-run cities. That just bothers me. Okay? At some point, don't we have to stop this? I could see if, like, the coalition of black, or the black mayor's coalition on crime, as a storied history dating back 150 years, I could see that. And then it was formed this year, and everybody's just like, yeah, you know, what are you going to do? Sorry, I don't even know. Omaha, just because it's Nebraska, it's a horrible stereotype. I assume the mayor of Omaha is white. If you were putting money on it, wouldn't you go, hey, for $5,000, bet on a city, and then if it's a white mayor, you win. Wouldn't you put money on Omaha? I'm looking it up. I'm slowly typing. Let's see. Omaha mayor. Yep, there you go. Jean Strother. She's been mayor since 2013. And she's a Republican. No wonder she wasn't invited. She's probably causing most of the crime down there. But yeah, white lady. I can see why that. But okay. Your default. I was going to say. What the hell? I was going to say Indianapolis. But I don't know if that's true. Now I'm going to end the rest of the show looking up mayors. Oh, yeah. Another white guy. Well, you can see why they don't care. But what about, is there no crime in Omaha? Is there no crime in Indianapolis? Of course there's crime in Indianapolis. Of course there's crime in Omaha. There's crime everywhere. Crime is committed by everybody. But Democrats don't give a crap about it. And they're by the way, if the polls shake out the way they're shaking out, Democrats are on the cusp of not giving a crap about black crime anymore. Well, not that they really care about that anymore, but they aren't going to pay lip service to that anymore. If Donald Trump gets 20% of the black vote, forget it. Forget. Or there's going to be just uber pandering from the left. I don't know. They're going to be lost without it. But anyway, let's see. Numbers alone don't tell the story. It's back to the USA Today story. The coalition meeting. Aren't coalitions supposed to bring people from different backgrounds together? Isn't it a Klan rally if it's a bunch of white people getting together, regardless of what the purpose of it? But it's not a coalition of white people. No, that's a Klan rally. But if you just get everybody together who's all in agreement, same political beliefs, same skin color, same party ID, and like, oh yeah, no, this is a coalition. Coalition of what? Sameness? The coalition's meeting comes as crime dropped in several key categories nationally last year. There was a 13% decline in murders in 2023 from 2022. Yay, congratulations. Those figures mean the U.S. In 2023 experienced one of the largest single-year reductions in crime since modern record-keeping began around 1960. Yeah. It's great. It's wonderful. Why everybody go and buy property in Washington, D.C. or Baltimore or Philadelphia? It's cheap. Now, nationally, homicides remain about 18% above 2019's totals. said Adam Gelb, the council's CEO. Well, wait a second. This is the Council on Criminal Justice, a nonpartisan think tank. So what are the solutions that they're putting forth? We have a little bit of the while they now what's telling about the Black Mayor's Coalition on Crime. Their big meeting, they've blocked out the media. Now you're getting a slobbering, glowing piece in USA Today about how wonderful it is because it's a group of leftists and it's race-based propaganda and garbage. But Terry Collins here doesn't bother to mention or doesn't seem bothered by the fact that the media has been shunned from this meeting. They're very concerned about crime. They're looking anywhere for crime, solutions to crime. But if you believe the statistics, crime is crashing right now, so they should just continue to do more of the same, right? Well, why are you looking for a solution to a problem that's solving itself? It's working out. My God, criminal crime statistics are collapsing because they're cooking the books. That's why, for the reasons I explained earlier. And if you're looking anywhere for solutions, for help, you're serious. You're not, I will not rest until this, that, or the other thing. Why would you close the meeting? If you're doing something you're proud of, you don't boot the press out. These are politicians. There are a few things. Politicians don't love their kids as much as they love the media when they're Democrats. So why would you then lock out the press? And why would you lock out the public? If you're searching high and low, wouldn't it be possible that somebody in the public has some good ideas? Wouldn't it? I mean, you're already limiting it to skin color. Why would you limit it even further? Might it be that this is all about show? That this is about pretending to be doing something because Joe Biden and the Democrats nationally are having difficulty securing the black vote, locking it down, getting it back up to that 90 to 95% rate that they take advantage of. And a big part of the reason is quality of life in majority black cities. And a big part of quality of life is crime. And so you have to be seen as doing so. We're doing something. What are you doing? It doesn't matter. You don't need to see that part. We're going to go behind these doors, and we're going to come up with some solutions. We're going to work on this problem. Can we see you working on the problem? No, you can't. Well, you should never eat food that nobody will let you see being prepared, and you should not swallow legislation or, quote, solutions that nobody will let you see being worked on. The mayor of St. Louis is a woman named Tishara Jones. She happens to be a black woman, therefore is well qualified to be a member of the Black Mayor's Coalition on Crime. She is, in fact, a member of the Black Mayor's Coalition on Crime, and she is in attendance at this event. Outside this event, where they were drumming up press for themselves, and of course the media swallowed it whole, she came up with they're very good at stating the problem. Politicians are exceedingly good at stating whatever the problem is. Articulating a solution that makes any sense, less so. And you're about to see why they should not be allowed to ad-lib or think off the cuff and why many people in the political realm are not all that bright. See, in St. Louis, she says, there's a lot of crime outside of convenience stores. So the way to handle that is not, I don't know, increased patrols around convenience stores, not allowing, say, empowering neighborhood watch or allowing business owners to arm themselves. Nothing like that. You got to hold the business owners accountable because people are being robbed at convenience stores or something. Let her try to explain it.
Leaders from Jackson, Mississippi, Los Angeles, Washington, D.C., Atlanta, Durham, St. Louis, and more meeting Wednesday and Thursday to talk crime and solutions. St. Louis Mayor Tashara Jones says she's taking back strategies used in Atlanta for nightclub owners and eyeing ways to reduce crimes around convenience stores.
We have a lot of violence around convenience stores and gas stations, so how can we hold those business owners accountable and also bring down crime?
What? Okay, you're pumping gas. It's 10 o'clock at night. Some goon comes up, punches you in the face, grabs your wallet and runs off. And Texaco is to blame? The guy who owns the Quickie Mart, you're going to haul out a poo in cuffs going, why didn't you do something? Okay. Well, then are you going to allow the business owner to employ, say, snipers to hang out on the rooftops to make? No. Maybe you arrest people, prosecute them, and put them behind bars for extended periods of time, right? And with each successive time that they are arrested, they get a longer period of incarceration to the point that, say, well, we could do three strikes, we could do five strikes. And at some point, there is a point at which you have demonstrated an unwillingness to be a productive or even unproductive but decent member of a civil society that you forfeit your right to ever get out of that prison. See, all these things are an anathema to the left. They refuse to accept that. Don't put criminals in prison. What we need to do is make sure that these business owners are held accountable. Well, what does that mean? What does that look like? If I'm just spitballing here, I assume that means that they're going to have to hire security guards. Right? Now, it's St. Louis. I don't think you can own a gun legally, so you either have to break the law if you like your life, because the criminals break the law and carry them, or you're going to have to just risk. Maybe you're going to hire a whole bunch of ninjas to come out there, and they'll hide behind the pumps, and somebody tries to commit some crime, and they'll swoop down. There's a lot of people training for American Ninja Warrior. Maybe they can just put bars and little ledges around. People can climb around. It'll be fun. Or you could just, you know, have police on the lookout at these locations. They know where the crimes occur, and moreover, they know who commits the crimes. The people who commit violent crimes are not unknown to the police. They have rap sheets. That's why, like, when you've never heard a murderer where, like, well, this is his first run-in with police. Really? Yes, it's the first time he's 29 years old and has been a productive member of society. Occasionally you'll see that on an episode of 2020 about somebody who murdered their young wife or something for life insurance because they let it. But then you always find out, well, they led a secret double life where they had another family and huge gambling debts and all. There's always something else. There's nobody just like, you know, he's a loving family man. And then one day he said, I'm reading about Leopold and Loeb. There's a deep cut for you if you want to go down the internet rabbit hole. I'm learning about Leopold and Loeb. So I want to see if I can get away with murder. I'll just murder my neighbor for fun. Why not? It doesn't happen. People don't do those sorts of things. You've either got it in you or you don't. I hate to keep going back to the Hunter Biden well, but that's why I can't help but laugh when I hear these people going, you know, Hunter Biden was, his life really went off the rails when his brother died. His life went, once Bo died, the whole Biden family was suffering and Hunter turned to drugs. Oh, okay. Well, that explains why 2 years before Bo died, Hunter was thrown out of the Navy for testing positive multiple times over an extended period of time for cocaine, right? That explains it. Hunter could tell that something was wrong with his brother. He just couldn't put his finger on it before anybody had diagnosed it. And so he tried to numb that pain, that forethought, that knowledge, that crystal ball in his head with some cocaine. That makes perfect sense. And the hookers, too. Because he was a good family man until his brother hadn't gotten sick yet and decided to sleep with his brother's wife as soon as he died, as anybody does. I mean, that's just, it's a tale as old as time. It sounds absurd because it is absurd, because all of this is absurd. We need to hold gas station attendants, gas station owners, and why? We have the Attorney General of Minnesota taking legal action against Hyundai and Kia because he says that they've made their cars too easy to steal. Too easy to steal. So he's going after, what do you do? We don't require keys. We don't put locks in. We don't do any. You can just come up and anybody can take the, okay, maybe you got a case then. But even then, I would posit that the person who stole it, if you leave your keys in your car, it's dumb. But if you do, somebody comes along and they don't go, oh, there are keys in this car. That must mean that they want me to take this, or it's okay to take this, or whatever. You are a special kind of stupid, at which point you should, in fact, be locked up. It is essentially what Keith Ellison, the Attorney General of Minnesota, former member of Congress, what he's advocating for is the Grand Theft Auto equivalent of, if you didn't want to get raped, you shouldn't have worn such a short skirt. Is it easier to steal some cars than others? Sure. I told you about some of the junk cars I had, and only one of them anybody ever tried to steal, and it was an 85 Oldsmobile or something like that. I don't know. It was very old. It was not that great. Somebody probably could have just had it if they'd asked nicely for it. But somebody tried to steal it, and my friend's brother, who's a mechanic, said, oh, man, they broke the window, the back window on the little side thing. It wasn't even on the door, which I just duct taped over. But they got into the car, and they realized that the steering wheel was not a tilt steering wheel. It just didn't move. And my friend's brother said, you know, if this had been a tilt steering wheel, your car would be gone. Those are really easy to crack open the thing and hotwire or whatever, get them started. Should Oldsmobile be sued? I assume that's true. He knows the only thing he knows what he's talking about on is cars. So I believe him. Does that mean I've missed out on a class action lawsuit because it didn't clearly mark on the car that make it visible from space that it is not, in fact, tilt steering wheel? So do they owe me money to replace that window, which I never replaced, by the way? No, of course not. The person who did it is responsible. The car exists. Somebody decides to do something with it, just like a gun exists. It's an inanimate object. It is only a danger when somebody chooses to use it in a dangerous way. But the left is constantly looking for ways to absolve their voters from any responsibility, whatever. They are like the Pope out on that balcony. Blessing, I absolve everybody of all their sin. Except for thinking differently. Those people will go straight to hell forever. So, you've got what's weird, the Black Mayor's Coalition on Crime didn't include the black mayor of the largest city in the country, one that is experiencing a whole bunch of crime. I'm speaking, of course, of New York City. I also don't think the mayor of Chicago was there. He doesn't care. He blamed part of the immigrant crisis there in Chicago on Trump and Trump supporters. So maybe Chicago is MAGA country. I don't know. Is it too late to get it? You know, God, I don't even want to joke about this because so much of what I joke about ends up becoming true. But if Joe Biden thought that there was one more vote he could get out of it, you know he would like try to find a way to pardon Jesse Smollett or get him a cabinet position or some sort of honorary thing or whatever. He'll head up the commission on homophobic attacks or something like that. They'll get Jesse involved in that somehow if they thought there was any mileage on it. But yeah, it's weird that these mayors are not up there in the Black Mayors Coalition on Crime. And it's because I think in the case of Eric Adams, he's sort of trying to have his cake and eat it too. He's trying desperately to bring crime down. He's recognizing that I think that as he's not up right now, but there comes a point when you can't pull up from a nosedive, right? There comes a point where, like, oh, things are so bad that there's no turning back from this, that you just got to kind of do something else, go a different direction. And you saw what happened in Chicago with Lori Lightfoot, where she got humiliated and lost. She came in third in the primary, for God's sakes. So he doesn't want to do that. He has to be seen as doing something. It's just not something that works. That's the thing, is Democrats can do something, and it doesn't have to work. That's the whole story of Democrat-run cities. It's not that Chicago hasn't spent the last 70 years of Democrat control doing, it's not they've done nothing for the last 70 years. They've done a lot of things. They've just done a lot of stupid things that were counterproductive that made things worse, which at some point you have to look at it and go, are you trying to make things worse? Maybe the conclusion is you have to come to is they have to be. At some point, you have to be. Like the person smoking through their trach hole, right? At some point, don't you just go, hey, God sent you a pretty big message right there. Right there in your freaking throat, right? Maybe listen to him. Maybe take him up on that offer and go, all right, enough of this. But, you know, if that's how you want to roll, that's how you want to, it's your life. And if you want to keep electing Democrats and you go, well, things keep getting worse and worse and worse, and we just try a different Democrat. It was a couple years ago. It was more than a couple years ago now. When Stephanie Rawlings Blake in Baltimore announced that she wasn't going to seek re-election, she was a sort of accidental mayor anyway. She was city council president, and then scandal, corruption, prison got her elevated to mayor, and then she won her own term that she didn't seem super excited about, didn't have a plan, and when it comes time for re-election, she's terrible. She sucked at the job. At least she admitted she sucked at the job. I mean, she didn't admit it, but she knew she sucked at the job. She said, I'm going to walk away. It's not worth the hassle. I don't have the vision. I don't have the drive. I don't have anything. And so half the city council, Baltimore's in bad shape, half the city council decided to run for mayor. It's not very often that you have an open seat like that. But to run for mayor, you had to sort of forego. You're all up, and you're running in the primary. You can only run on one thing in the primary, so you couldn't run for re-election in the city council. You had to run for mayor. That meant that half the city council was going to change, no matter what. It wasn't even like, it's going to be some close races, can't wait to see. It's going to be a late night on election. No, it was half the city council was going to change. I naively thought, at the time I was just a young buck in the woods, I thought, hey, here's a chance for this city to really make a difference. You know, you could get a couple of reform-minded, different direction, tough on crime, maybe even, you know, moderately conservative Democrats on the city council. You'd get one here and there. But now with half the city council, I think it was six members or whatever, with half the city council, you can really make a difference. Crime is terrible. It's through the roof. If people go out there and they vote smart and they vote on, then we could really turn this corner. And instead, nope. They just elected different people with the same ideas. Like, okay, different people doing the same things. It's not the people. It's not the physical being. It's not the shell, the husk of the person doing and implementing stupid policies. It's the stupid policies. It was the personification in one election of what had deteriorated over the previous 60 years. Let's just keep electing Democrats. Yes, well, the mayor died. The mayor retired. The mayor went to prison. The mayor decided to run for governor, whatever it is. And, okay, let's get somebody in who's going to keep doing the same things. Well, what they were doing wasn't working. Why would you do it? Well, they're going to take it a little further. Okay, but it's the problem is they're going to throw more money at what isn't working. There is no amount of money that is eventually going to make a broken, corrupt system go, well, now I'm going to get my act together. It's not how it works. It's kind of what's at play in Ukraine. You throw all the money you want at Ukraine, Not going to change the fact that Ukraine is corrupt and a good 40% of it is going to end up in people's Swiss bank accounts. Remember all the money we threw towards Afghanistan? The Biden administration propped up the president of Afghanistan, gave him a bunch of military equipment, gave him all this stuff, gave him money. And the second, I think he was out of there. There's still Americans trapped in Afghanistan, thanks to Biden. But the president, gone. He's living on. I don't even know if they're hunting him down. Like, the guy ran off with billions of dollars, and he just kind of got away with it. Because the Biden administration couldn't really draw attention to it because they enabled him. So they can't say, can you believe this guy? He's a monster. We're going to hunt him to the ends of the earth. You take that to court, you probably find out that Frank Biden, Joe's brother, well, he was advising unofficially to me, and Hunter was my banker. And for 10%, he managed to get a bunch of money to Switzerland for me. There's no complaining about it whatsoever. Oh, the government collapsed. Not in the street. He didn't just fall over. He's not currently sitting in a prison in Afghanistan. He fled the country with a lot of money. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. Getting different people to do the same thing always leads to the same result. Or getting it always, you know, it's one level up. Never mind it of Spinal Tap. These knobs go up to 11. Well, why not just make 10, 11, and then it's all the way up. These go to 11. Okay, but it's not any, you don't understand, it's not any, doesn't these go to 11? Well, Mayor Eric Adams of New York is presiding over, and same with Governor Hochul. Governor Hochul was given a run for her money last. If you've ever seen a politician speak who is less of an inspiration, she makes Joe Biden come across as energetic and spry, not when he's all coked up on Adderall or whatever, but when he's just on an average day. She is the least. Last time I was in New York, I was in Manhattan, I don't know, 2 years ago, whatever. My wife was getting some award in the radio industry. And we're going to our hotel, and I walk, and I'm like, there's the governor of New York. It wasn't all that long after Cuomo had resigned. And she's standing out in front of the hotel. I don't know if she's checking in or getting out. I don't know what the hell she's doing there. Or if it was there for some event. But she was standing there for a good 5 minutes. Maybe she was on the phone or whatever. But nobody came up to her. Nobody really even recognized her. That I was a political nerd and I recognized the governor of New York who just descended to office. If she was lieutenant governor, I never would have. But she's just this tiny little woman standing there, uninspiring, doesn't attract attention in any way. Not that she needs to be doing a song and dance. But her constituents didn't give a damn or even notice. She's a non-entity. You can say what you want about Andrew Cuomo. You noticed loud. He made sure you noticed. Most politicians will make sure you notice. They got a couple of staffers around them, attending to them, laughing at their jokes. Hochul was just kind of standing there. There was a security guard near her, but he might as well have taken a nap. Nobody gave a damn. It's weird. Anyway, Eric Adams is kind of facing the same sort of problem. He's not the most inspiring person. He ran against somebody who was easy to beat. Hochul became governor because Cuomo couldn't stop playing grab ass in the office. And Adams won because he pretended to be tough on crime because he was a former cop. But then he didn't really get tough on crime. Well, now he's got more crime. Now he's got to be seen as giving a damn about crime. So they are out there doing various things like promising to do something. It's kind of funny. Then the governor sends in the National Guard. The National Guard's going to stand around on the train platforms in certain areas to prevent crime, but they're not allowed to carry their guns, or at least not their rifles. Why? Because that's too scary. Okay, well, if the point is intimidation through visibility, Isn't that an important part of it? I just say it. Oh, no. They've got simple chronic halitosis. They might breathe on me. I'm scared. No, it's – and most of these people are not – let's face it. The country's not – and I'm not either. The country's not fit, right? So there's not a whole lot of – they don't look like special forces dudes that are ripped and for breakfast chewed on half a cow in the middle of a pasture. They're just that tough. They're doughy. They're National Guards. They were, you know, one weekend a month and 2 weeks a year, and now, crap, I got to go stand in a Brooklyn subway kind of thing in uniform. I hope it still fits kind of thing. You take away the weapon, and it's like, okay, there's a fat guy in camouflage over there that I'm pretty sure if I can get up five steps, he's going to be winded and laying down on the stairs. It's not working. There's still high-profile crime happening on the subways. Why? Because she sent in a limited number of National Guardsmen and women. Ugh. And there are, like, some ungodly, I heard the number, like, 400 and some stations in the New York City subway, or maybe it was 600. It's a lot of stations. If you ever looked at a map or ever ridden the subway, you're like, I think I'm where I'm supposed to be. You could get lost pretty easily. So having every 12th station have a couple of doughy National Guards dudes standing there without any weapons is not going to intimidate the committed criminal or the insane. So now the mayor has come up with something that he needs to do. Besides, that doesn't help the mayor. I mean, if crime goes down, it helps the mayor a little bit, but the credit goes then to the governor, who will claim all the credit. He needs to plant his flag into something of his own. So he's now announcing that there, I assume this is just the thesaurus version of saying they're going to install metal detectors, electromagnetometers or whatever. I don't even know if that's how you pronounce it, how they really are, but I'm not his speechwriter. You want to make it sound as complicated as possible so people just go, oh, he's going to do something, rather than go, yeah, we're going to occasionally wand somebody. That's it. If you crotch the knife, you'll be fine because we're not going anywhere near your crotch. But we're going to do something at, you know, five random stations out of 600.
I'm proud to announce that we are taking the next step forward in our ongoing efforts to make our subways even safer and ensure New Yorkers feel safer in the transit system. Today, in accordance with the POST Act, for the use of technology by the NYPD, we'll be publishing the impact and use policy for electromagnetic weapons detection systems here in New York City. This kicks off the 90-day waiting period before this type of technology can be tested and used in our city to help keep New Yorkers safe. This is a rule that we have to follow. We have to wait 90 days before we can implement of this technology. But during the 90-day period, waiting period, the NYPD will work to identify all vendors with effective technology and expertise.
Now, if you couldn't make sense of that, it's because he can't read, apparently. And it's the first he's heard of it. It makes you wonder. Some of these people, when they're announcing the policies that they're implementing, these politicians are like, Shouldn't you be able to pronounce this stuff? Shouldn't you? Like, honestly, if you're trying to pass this off as you've come up with this wonderful idea, you should be able to pronounce it. And if you're introducing, like Joe Biden when he was introducing Javier Becerra to be Secretary of Health and Human Services, I want to introduce my good friend, Javier Becerra. Wait a second. If he's your good friend, there's... I don't have a good friend who can't pronounce my name. Now, granted, it's not that complicated. It's a pretty white name, frankly. And Joe Biden, being an old racist white dude, maybe he's thrown off by anything ethnic. But for a guy who is claimed to have grown up in the black church, the Jewish synagogue, and the Puerto Rican community, well, you'd think Delaware was just a bastion of... is a giant melting pot of the United States, but it's a segregated southern state. Like, it still is. It just is. Go there. Look around. Go to Wilmington. See how that works out for you. But He'd sit there. Oh, yeah, no, my good friend Javier Baccaria. We've got a great solution to this problem. We're going to get metal detectors. Just call them metal detectors. If you can't read the word, theoretically, before this decision was made, before you pulled the trigger on this one, shouldn't you have had a couple of meetings with staff going, what are we going to do? Oh, we can put the electromagnetometers. Electromagnetometers, huh? This shouldn't be the first time you've heard the word. It shouldn't be. And if throughout the course of all of the meetings you never once nailed its pronunciation, then you just go metal detectors. Now you're going to go with the metal detectors. Wanding people. Because that's what it's going to be. They're not going to put these everywhere. They got to wait 90 days. So if you're thinking about committing a crime, thinking about mugging somebody on a subway, you're on notice now. You've got until early summer. Then it starts to smell, and nobody wants to ride the subway anyway. But honest to God, you sit there and you go, what are you going to do? You're going to put metal detectors up at a few subway stations or whatever randomly. Well, here's a good idea. If you're a criminal, don't go in those subway gates, right? Hey, they're setting up metal detectors down. Okay, well, I'll go to the next entrance then, and I'll do that. Here's a better idea, Mr. Mayor. Catch people committing the crimes and then put them in jail. Prosecute them. But you notice that is always lacking. The commonsensical last step of let's prosecute criminals and put them away. That's always missing from this. It is always missing from this. If you put criminals behind bars, then there are fewer criminals on the streets to commit crimes. But if you don't put criminals behind bars, there are people who teeter on the edge. They have the little devil and the little angel on their shoulder. And they're sitting there going, you know what? Purse right there. You could reach right into that and maybe grab that wallet. You can't help but notice that there's stuff that looks like 20s in there. No, don't do that. That would be wrong. Well, the no, don't do that, that would be wrong. If that's not enough for you, you add to it the, and your ass is going to go to jail for a long time. You're going to have a record. You're not going to be able to get a job. You're going to be screwed. If you remove all of that, all you're left with countering the, look at that wad of money. Wouldn't it be nice to have that wad of money? All that's left to counter that is, that would be wrong. Well, which side is going to win in that tug of war? Which one do you think is going to pull a little bit harder? Just throwing it out there. But you can't, as a Democrat, say this. Eric Adams could easily call on the city council to reinstate cash bail. But people getting robbed, people getting beaten up, people getting whatever on the subway is an embarrassment, but it's not a hindrance. It's not a real problem. They is certainly not going to try and repeal, you know, no cash bail. They had somebody a couple of weeks ago, three people who had, well, we don't know if they murdered them or not, but there were a man and a woman who were dead somehow. Usually when two people die at the same time, under shady circumstances, that's usually suspect foul play or a carbon monoxide leak, but usually foul play. Especially when three people take their corpses, move them to an abandoned area. They're in an abandoned house. Dismember them, cut them up, literally tear them apart, and dispose of their body parts around the neighborhood. It's not, you know, hey, Earl, wake up, everybody. Earl passed in his sleep. Oh, no, that's terrible. I'll miss him. Well, grab the hacksaw and let's start chopping him up. That's not how it works. If you're inclined to dismember a corpse, you're more than likely trying to dispose of it because turning it over to the authorities is not going to work out well for your personal freedom. Just saying. But those three people who admitted to dismembering the bodies, and there was so much blood at the scene that it clogged the drains, human flesh, it clogged the drains in this house. They were arrested, as you might imagine. They have yet to be charged, last I knew, with murder, but they were charged with dismembering corpses and trying to hide the remains. And they were released with no cash bail, because even up to that doesn't qualify for cash bail. They didn't have any evidence that there was foul play as of yet because, well, they dismembered the bodies. It's kind of tough to figure out a cause of death when you've got like a toe stuck in a drain somewhere and that's it. If that isn't enough to have the mayor go, you know what, we really need to get rid of this no cash bail thing, then a couple of people getting the crap beat out of them on a subway sure as hell isn't going to make a difference. As we run out of time, I want to play you one more clip here of, there's this group called the New Democrat Coalition. And they're trying to seem hip or whatever. I don't know what the hell it is. It's weird because they're using TikTok. And you can't sit, even if you don't want to ban TikTok, it's a bad look to be using TikTok if you're a member of Congress because, well, you're just giving all of your information to China. So the New Democrat Coalition is made up of nearly 100 center-left House Democrats committed to breaking through the gridlock to deliver adults, deliver results for Americans. There's nothing worse than somebody who's older trying to act young and hip. Remembering the episode of 30 Rock where Steve Buscemi was wearing, like, he's dressed up like a teenager. And he's, hello, fellow youths. What are you doing? He's carrying around a skateboard. That's what this sounds like with these Democrats. Aside from just the general lying state of what they're saying. But listen to pathetic old politicians try to sound young and hip.
We're New Dems. Of course, we're late to this trend.
We're the New Dems. Of course, we're lowering costs, putting more money in your pockets, and growing the economy.
We're New Dems, so of course we are breaking through the gridlock in Washington.
We're New Dems. Of course we're going to talk your ear off about our wonky policy priorities. In fact, have we told you about our new work on artificial intelligence?
We're New Dems. Of course. Wait, what's my line again?
God, you just, this is like watching your parents try to, I don't know, seem cool to your new girlfriend. Like, just stop it, okay? Okay? We live in fear of you walking in the room when we're alone together. That's it. That's just the relationship you're going to have, okay? We're 18. We're not going to get married. We're 16. It's just not going to happen, okay? You're going to have two awkward meals. Maybe you're going to see some heavy petting, and then I'm going to be weirded about it, and we're going to break up. That's it. Don't pretend that you're my friend. Stop it. These people, oh, yeah, we're breaking through the gridlock. Doing what? What exactly have you gotten through the gridlock there, Democrats? Oh, you can't manage to understand the effects of wind on a microphone, lady. You're going to lead the way for what? How lowering costs and putting more money in my pocket. How about you just leave me the hell alone? Let me keep the money I earn, and then I'll have more money in my pocket, right? And wouldn't this solve all the... The problems you're claiming to solve are problems you've created, right? How about you just stop creating the problems, and then we'll work from there. We can get to the work on artificial intelligence at something, but first, you've got to demonstrate a little bit of organic intelligence on your own. It's a low barrier to entry, I think, but if you ever get there, let me know. All right, that is enough for today, ladies and gentlemen. Get back to your regular routine now. We're back to the regular routine here and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, it's another week. We need a holiday already, don't we? Anyway, check out patreon.com/DerekHunterPodcast or DerekHunter.locals.com. Appreciate what you do. Appreciate the use of your ears. Have a great one. See you tomorrow.